Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome in to Hit That Line Championship Week Edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. We have one-third of the Legal Gambling Council here with us. We might have two-thirds here shortly. We will not have a full quorum as our very own Austin Gray is on location in Manhattan, out there getting his cat power on there for the Ole Miss men's basketball game against St. John's at the house that Billy Joel built at the Garden. Do not expect Austin to join us walking around New York. He's probably having a big old time. But we're here. We're going to talk plenty of championship week. We'll get into, we might do a little Mountain West. We might do a little American. I think North Texas Tulane is going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we'll talk Big 12, SEC, Big 10, and ACC. Mainly because a lot of these games could potentially affect Ole Miss in the CFP. So, without further ado, let's get into it. And I guess, first off, we can go ahead and look at kind of the bracket. Were you surprised at all where Ole Miss was in the rankings on Tuesday?
No, I was surprised that Ole Miss had fallen to 7 a week or two before. I thought 5 or 6 felt right. I still think that Ole Miss's resume is better than Texas Tech, frankly. I think Ole Miss's resume is probably better than Oregon. But, you know, when you get down to like the 4, 5, 6 level, you're really splitting hairs as to which team should be in which, you know, spot. So, no, I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, I would have been more surprised had Ole Miss been lower than 6.
Yeah.
And what I mean by lower is ranked worse, 7 or farther. And really, I guess 7 may not have surprised me that much, but 8 definitely would have. And that would have been specifically because of the lost coach, which the committee indicated by this ranking they don't care about at all. So, or they didn't take it in consideration.
Right. The thing for me, if we're just looking at it like from surface level with just straight resume, home, away, wins, losses, I think Ole Miss has the better resume when talking about Oregon, because Oregon, the score didn't tell the tale of that game. Oregon got dominated by Indiana at home.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's the number 2 Indiana team. Ole Miss lost to Georgia on the road, who was the, 3?
Yeah.
That is, to me, I think Ole Miss should be the 5. Just, I think the SEC, I don't know what the like strength of schedule and all that. I can pull that up, but I just think Ole Miss having, and I hate to do the quality loss thing, but Ole Miss lost by 1 score to Georgia on the road.
Yep.
Had the game, up 9 in the 4th?
Well, and I think if you're Ole Miss and you could switch out like Citadel or one of those non-conference games for, I'm not saying switch them for a Big Ten opponent, but make it a good G5 or a middling Power 4 opponent, then that may, the strength of record may, improve drastically with that, because I'm sure that one of those games was just a bomb. Also, you got to think that I know they look at like game control, and the game control, this is just me speculating, I haven't even looked at it, but it's not like Ole Miss went out and just dominated Washington State, right? And so
Yeah.
That gets factored into this too. And it's probably why they're not four or five and they're instead six. Because at the same token, Ole Miss scored five straight touchdowns against Georgia. So on the road.
Yeah.
Which goes in their favor. Anyway, it's a long way of saying they're probably ranked right where they should be, to be honest with you. And really, if you look at the bracket, it could fall really, really nicely in that if Georgia wins and Ohio State wins, there's a world where Indiana's third, and so Ole Miss could be the sixth playing, let's say, Virginia if they beat Duke, and then get a second-round game of Indiana. And I'm not – look, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but it kind of lined that up that way in 22 in baseball, right? Is like you go to Miami, who's a good team, but like that's not like going to Tennessee, right? And so, especially in that year, a team you can beat, and then you match up in the supers in your own state against Southern Miss. It's like wow, and then you get to Omaha and you play Auburn, who you've like owned, and so it's things that. Sometimes when you get into the tournament, it's all about the run and how you match up with the opponent, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, by the time you get to the semifinals, look, if Ole Miss were to make it that far, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let's say Ole Miss lined up with Virginia and won, they'd be a two-touchdown favorite, then lined up to play Indiana. Let's say it's a pick 'em or a two-point favorite. Either way, I don't know what the spread would be, but you win that game. Well, then you get in the semifinals. Well, yeah, everybody at that point's good. I mean, gosh, everybody in the quarterfinals is good. But the semis, you're talking about playing either Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama. And the thought would be, right, is if Georgia was the two, that whoever the seven is, let's say that's Oklahoma or whoever, they beat them, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at playing a team that you've already beat this year to get to the final. So that's like the perfect best case scenario as an Ole Miss fan.
Because right now, the projected bracket, on the left side, you would have 8-9 Oklahoma hosting Alabama.
Yep.
Rematch of the regular season game. Bottom, you got number 5 Oregon against the 12 seed, which would be probably what? The
Tulane.
Yeah, the American. champion. And then the winner of Oklahoma, Alabama would get Ohio State. Winner of Oregon, let's say Tulane, gets Texas Tech. On the right side, you've got number 7 A&M hosting Notre Dame, another rematch, which is crazy how this works out.
Yeah.
Then you've got Ole Miss, let's say, hosting Virginia. The winner of A&M Notre Dame would get Indiana. And then the winner of Ole Miss, Virginia, would get Georgia. So if you're an Ole Miss fan, I think
the six would get the three, right? Oh, yeah. Georgia is the three right now.
Yeah, gotcha, right now.
Gotcha. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
So ideally, if you're Ole Miss, like you said, Ohio State holds serve, beats Indiana. Indiana drops to three. Georgia beats Alabama, moves up to two.
Yep.
Because I don't think you cannot move Georgia up if Indiana loses and Georgia wins. And I don't care what Texas Tech does to BYU. Texas Tech is not jumping both Georgia and Indiana. No.
Now, there is a world where, in my opinion, that BYU beats Texas Tech. At that point, do they drop Tech down any?
I think you have to.
Right? And do they drop Tech below Ole Miss or just Oregon?
Yeah, see, that's the thing with these teams that are waiting because you don't have another game to see, which works for Ole Miss's benefit because you don't have, you know, a chance to either lose and or, you know, eke out a win. So you're just kind of chilling right now. You got a couple weeks before your game. For Ole Miss fans, before we get into the weekend, I think you cheer for Ohio State and you cheer for Georgia. Because Indiana, Ohio State didn't really matter. Ohio State loses to Indiana, I think they just switch, right?
Yep.
Like, do you think they'd move Georgia to two?
They might. Ohio State at three? In my mind, as long as Georgia wins, I think the Big Ten – champion and the SEC champion are going to be 1 and 2. I think if Alabama wins, they're going to drop Georgia. May, like, I don't know to what number, but I think Alabama may jump all the way into the top four just to ensure that the SEC has a bye.
Which would be insane to go as of now, you'd be going from 9 to 4.
Yeah, no. I just, in my mind, I think that's going to happen. I think it would make more sense just to shift everybody up, that me, yeah, like Ole Miss, whoever. But if they do that, though, right, now you put Ole Miss ahead of the team that beat them and punish that team for losing their conference championship game, that being Georgia. So it's like, it's hard to, you know, that there's barriers here. It's kind of like you really can't put Oklahoma in front of Ole Miss under any circumstance.
You can't. Yeah. No, yeah, because, yeah, the
same head-to-head should apply to Georgia probably, because otherwise you'd be punishing them for playing the SEC championship game.
And historically, the committee has not punished people for losing, yeah, because it's an extra game. It's, and I think what you think the committee probably views it as a neutral site, not a conference game. It's a championship. So if you win, it helps you out. If you lose, it doesn't really affect you, right? You might just move down one. Honestly, I feel like Ole Miss is in a great spot. I think the 5 or the 6 is where you want to be, because you want to host.
Yeah.
Because, like, some people are saying, like, oh, like, would you want to be – because I know after Kiffin left and the conspiracy that Ole Miss was going to get punished for it, and people were like, well, does Ole Miss want to be the 7? Well, no, because I think you're going to get a tougher opponent in the 10.
Yeah.
Because right now with the 11, you're going to get the ACC champ.
Yeah.
Right. Because that won't change, right? You're getting the ACC champ at 11.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So
either that or the American.
Well, I was listening to something, and I can't remember who was talking about this. Is there a way for, let's say, Tulane or whoever to make it, and also James Madison?
I think there would have to be like a domino effect of teams to lose, but I don't think none of the lower seeded teams are playing. Like, you're not dropping Alabama all the way out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Alabama's at 9. You're not going to punish them for losing in the SEC championship game. Like, well, I don't think you punish Alabama, like, even if Georgia won 49-3, I don't think they're getting punished.
Here's how it could work. So, the current 12-team format guarantees one automatic bid to the highest-ranked conference champion from the G5. A second G5 team could make the playoff if they win their conference and are ranked higher than the lowest ranked Power 4 conference champion, who receives an automatic bid. So Duke has 5 losses. If Duke were to beat Virginia, they are the conference champion. And if Duke beats Virginia, they would likely be ranked lower still than JMU, who would then get the bid.
Yeah. So, and I think this is a pretty good source, because Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN, you know, he talks to people at the CFP. They all talk to Heather Dinich, who seems to be tight with the committee. Kirk laid out kind of like chaos scenarios earlier this week, and you mentioned JMU, and he said, quote, "I'm saying if you have ultimate chaos this week," again, this is all based on Duke winning the ACC championship, "Duke would be knocked out, JMU, Tulane, or North Texas winner, they would be in. And then you get your other 3 power conference champions in, Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12. So that gives you 5 right there. Then we agree Texas Tech, even if it loses to BYU, is in. So that's 6. Loser of Big Ten is in. 7. Oregon is in. 8. We haven't hit Notre Dame yet, by the way. That's 8 teams that are definitely in. Now you go to the SEC. The champion's in. If Alabama loses, they're out under this scenario. Whoa. Okay. If Georgia beats Bama, that would be 9. Are you going to take A&M out? That's 10. Are you going to take Ole Miss out? That's 11. And then you've got Oklahoma, Alabama, Vanderbilt, and then Miami and Utah for 1 spot. Notre Dame, you got to throw Notre Dame in there too. So basically, Duke winning would just like completely
I think if Duke won, JMU's in. Like, looking at the rules, I'm pretty sure that they are in with a Duke win.
Now, JMU but, also has to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Because JMU
wins, correct.
Should.
Yeah.
JMU plays Troy.
Which is crazy. So, like, the 11 could be a G5 opponent.
Yeah. I mean.
So, really, Ole Miss is staring at as the 6, playing either Virginia at home or a G5 opponent at home.
I mean, home, CFP, first round.
You're with like a double-digit favorite.
Yeah, you're either going to be, what, 12.5, 13.5 against UVA?
Yeah, 14 probably. Maybe like 9.5 against JMU.
Yeah. You think?
JMU's good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's on the road against an SEC team. That's 11.
No. I'm not saying that. It may be maybe 11.5, 12. I don't know.
I mean, like, it's 9.5. You're laying them easy. Okay. Now, if Troy wins, which I don't think Troy gets in.
No, they can't get
in. Troy is 8-4.
If Troy won, then it would go back to like Miami or Utah or somebody like that. BYU would get it.
So, yeah, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're honestly sitting pretty. Because what we just laid out, you're going to get either UVA, who Ole Miss is better than.
Yep.
Without a doubt. I mean, UVA struggled to beat Virginia Tech. And
also really wouldn't be able to tell the fan bases apart in the Grove.
Yeah.
You want to talk about some
similar people. I wonder if Ellen would make the trip.
Hmm.
Arch's mom, UVA grad.
Yeah. Might actually get a Manning to the game.
But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss, the 6 is a good spot. You're hosting, and the 11, you really got some fluctuation there to have some very, very intriguing friendly matchups.
Yeah.
Because, dude, if it's Ole Miss at home against JMU, I mean, dude, that's going to be nuts. Now, I do think JMU is good, but JMU good versus 11-1, Ole Miss good at home, galvanized locker room after Lane Kiffin leaves you. That's
right.
That's murder.
JMU with no coach.
Yeah, because Bob Chesney, is he still coaching?
I'm not saying Ole Miss has, you know what I'm saying. I don't know if he is or is. I bet he coaches the conference championship.
Yeah.
He's going to UCLA?
Yeah.
Good hire for them, man. Like,
hey, know, man,
take Penn a State swing. Could have tried to grab him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, take a swing. You're already bad.
Mm-hmm.
If Bob Chesney doesn't work in 4 years, you just do it again.
Yep.
But, all right, we got some questions in the chat. We can get to these before we get to games. Susan asked, what about LSU's offensive coordinator calling plays in the playoff? As of now, I don't think he's officially LSU's offensive coordinator. Because isn't he signed like a term sheet?
It's right? A fair statement. But let's just assume that he is. I don't think that Pete Golding would put us in a position where the best guy for that role is not in it, if that makes sense. Like, I think that Pete would trust that Weiss is the, even in that, even given the situation, and let's assume that Weiss is going to LSU after the season, because he did sign a term sheet. I mean, let's assume that he is. I think that he still gives us the best chance of winning for now. So it's really what we have to deal with. I mean, what's the alternative, right? Like, get somebody in there who hadn't called plays for us all year. I mean, I don't love that. It's not ideal, but it's something we're just going to have to deal with.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've talked to Charlie a couple times, so I don't know him. But I also think that Keith Carter and Pete Golding have vetted this whole situation, where it's like they know him. They know the character. They're in the people that are like, well, he's going to be in the building. He's going to be recruiting for – no, he's not. That's not how this works. Like, no. It's not like Charlie Weiss is going to be in the huddle talking to the quarterback and the receivers and then being like, hey, you know, do you guys want to come to Baton Rouge with me when this is all over? Like, he's not going to do that.
No.
I don't think Charlie's that type of guy.
No, and also just don't think that in this environment that that's what you're there for.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, you have to think, like, these guys eat, sleep, breathe football year round, and he's finally in the playoffs. He's not going to suddenly go. I mean, I say that. We all know what Lane Kiffin just did, but I don't think that Charlie Weiss is that dude, if that makes sense. Like, to only use this opportunity to come in and try to recruit players to his new school is crazy to me. It would also be a bad look for the player. I mean, imagine being on the team and being like, dude, why are we trying to get ready to – I want to win a national championship. I want to win our home playoff game. Like, why are you trying to get me to come to LSU right now? Like, let's talk about that after the season.
Yeah. And there's also no way that wouldn't get out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody'd let it slip.
Yeah.
He'd be right. But, well, I was about to say, we'll find out, because they probably won't let him stay. You know.
And there's also some renewed confidence that Ole Miss can get him to stay and be back in 2026. If you ask me, through talking to some people, I don't know if Charlie really wants to go to LSU. Because if you remember, Lane Kiffin, the guy that apparently doesn't like ultimatums when they're given to him, likes handing out ultimatums. And I wasn't there. This is just my opinion. I think Charlie might have been a little flustered and a little pressured to get on the plane. I think the word that I'm hearing is his family would prefer to stay in Oxford.
Yeah. I don't know either way, but you know, we'll see what happens, right? Like, I'm not gonna, and this is for next year. Like, all I'm worried about right now is having the best staff that we can have to get Ole Miss as deep as it can go in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'll worry about who the offensive coordinator is going to be when that time comes, for like next year when that time comes. And if that's Charlie Weiss, great. If it's not Charlie Weiss, I promise you we're going to get somebody who is also very good. Ole Miss pays too much money and has had too much success in the post-NIL era or post-COVID era to not get that person. It's not like we're going to go back to hiring like Rich Rodriguez or whoever, who, by the way, it had some success at Jacksonville, is now back at West Virginia. But nonetheless, like, my anticipation is we would, if it did not work out with Weiss, we would find somebody who is very, very competent in that position. Also, did I see where – is there rumors that Dan Mullen's going to Memphis?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, to interview or to official?
I didn't. It not like, not reported anywhere. I was just reading it. Maybe I saw it on like Twitter or X or whatever.
Dan Mullen. Let's give it a look.
It may not. It may have just been somebody goofing off. But I was like, man, that'd be kind of a good hire for them, to be
honest. That'd be a damn good hire.
It would also make sense.
Yeah.
ironically.
Did hear some rumblings that Brother Hugh might be trying to angle for that job.
I was thinking Hugh Freeze might get that job too, or they may at least. Never thought I would say this, but if I were in their shoes, I would rather have Dan Mullen. But
yes, 100%. I mean, you saw the quote that Hugh was doing some interview, still throwing Jackson Arnold under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, what are you doing? If you want another job ever again, why are you talking?
Also, I think Baker's going to get the job at Tulane.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So is Chris Kiffin going to be Lane Kiffin's defensive coordinator?
I think that's what we're looking at. Unless
Isn't that crazy?
Unless he well, I guess Ed Orgeron would be like his D-line coach. Which is also wild. What a time. I mean.
Well, you have a question. What's your thoughts on Darby?
Yeah, I was just posting that. Kenny Darby, wide receiver, was committed to LSU, decommitted. He is now slated to announce Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time between Alabama, LSU, Colorado, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Houston. My man just – I'm putting all the hats on the table.
Where do you think he's going?
You know, I haven't talked to him. As soon as he decommitted, I reached out. He hasn't said anything. The latest on him is he had a Zoom call with Deion Sanders that, quote, blew him away.
Well, then, there you go.
And Colorado did just make a good hire, Brennan Marion, which is crazy. The Sacramento State head coach is stepping down to be an OC again. Could potentially be a nice little fallback for Colorado if Deion leaves or retires, because I mean he's still having like health problems.
I'm sure.
I mean he could take over for Deion. That wouldn't be a bad spot for him. I mean, I wouldn't go to Colorado just because Deion could just quit. You know,
I'm surprised he's sticking it out right now. Honestly,
yeah,
I mean, thought he'd be done.
I cannot believe that he stayed this long, but
I thought his whole reason for being there was to coach his kids, to be honest.
I thought he was going to leave right after they were done.
Try to get hired by the Browns.
Yeah. And then last thing on Darby, he was previously committed to Mississippi State, so Jeff Levy could pull something out. But I don't know. I think Mississippi State might have spent all their money on Braylon Womack, who, you know, good on State for signing him.
He's a good player. I mean, there's no doubt.
But, all right, let's see. Somebody in the chat saying that I'm assuming they mean LSU, that Kiffin's trying to get Elijah Robinson from Syracuse as a D-line coach. So, all right.
I think that lets you know where our defensive line coach stands on the situation.
Hey, standing on business in more ways than one. I mean, you saw his wife's been on social media voicing her opinion.
She's a great follow.
All right, so championship week, Friday. We just talked about it. Let's get back into it. Troy, JMU, 6 o'clock ESPN, Bridge Forth Stadium in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I mean, I think JMU rolls here.
Mm-hmm. What's the line?
Let me pull it up here. We have got, oh, geez. championship game,
23 and a half. Yeah, I'd lay the points.
Yeah, if I was touching this one, I might circle back. I'd take the over. It's 46 and a half. I mean, JMU might hit that on their own, which, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and lock it in right now because JMU's been pretty much a wagon all year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played well. Yeah, I'm going to lock in the over.
I'm not so sure they're not the best football team in their state.
Yeah, definitely right now.
I mean, it's them or Virginia. But I would think they're better than Virginia. I don't know. I mean,
that'd be a hell of a game.
I know. Has Troy and JMU played this year? No, they have not. Troy did play Clemson close, but they got beat by Old Dominion by 33.
Troy had a big win last week.
They play Southern Miss?
Yeah. I think I was on the wrong side of that one. No? Somebody. Maybe not. I thought we talked about it. I thought we picked it, but we didn't.
Listen to JMU's scores lately. 59-10 over Coastal, 24-20 over Wazoo, 58-10 over Appalachian State, 52-20 over Texas State, 63-27 over Old Dominion.
Oh, man, Jesus.
I know.
And that's a solid ODU team. And then you got the head scratcher of 14-7 against Georgia State.
I know.
Weird. Hung around.
That's what happens, though, man. When you get down in the G5, you know, it's hard to – I mean, it's college football generally, but
yeah.
You get down that level, they may turn the ball five or six times. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
Or one guy gets hurt, and it's like your whole team is like – you can't overcome that.
Got somebody in the chat asking – who's JMU's OC is? That's Dean Kennedy. I've looked him up quite a bit. Northeastern guy. He's from Massachusetts. he's been in the SEC. He was a GA and an offensive quality control guy and an assistant quarterback coach at Florida. He was at Mississippi State as a GA. And then he was at Holy Cross as the quarterback coach and OC. And then he's been at James Madison the last
two. When was he at State?
He was with Dan Mullen. GA under Dan Mullen. Then he followed Dan to Florida.
That means he runs good offense. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Say what you want about Dan. He knows ball.
Yeah.
When he was at Holy Cross, when he was the OC, they had the most points in the Patriot League at 37 points per game. And then obviously you've seen what he's done at JMU with Bob Chesney these last two seasons. 9-4, a bit of a down year for JMU last year, and then they jump up to 11-1 this year, undefeated in the Sun Belt. The lone loss for JMU was a 28-14 loss. I believe it was at Louisville. So, I mean, not bad.
Not bad.
But, yeah, and then if we're talking G5, the guy that's really interesting to me, if we're talking G5 OCs, is Kevin Decker at ODU, mainly because of Colton Joseph, the quarterback, who is in the portal now. This guy's fascinating to me, rising star, played quarterback in New Hampshire, and then – when he was at Fordham, I thought it was like maybe a conference or something. He was just like obsessed with Josh Heupel's offense and just studied it. And then like that's what he installs. And when he was at Fordham, it was the second team in FBS history ever to average over 600 yards of total offense per game.
Goodness gracious.
And this year,
who was first? Like some Leech team or something?
That's actually a good question. I'd have to Google that to see who it was.
I'm doing it right now while you do that. Go ahead.
I was going to say the aforementioned Colton Joseph, who is in the portal. I've talked about him quite a bit this year. I've talked about him and Brendan Sorsby at Cincinnati. But Colton Joseph is a monster. Threw for 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, and then also ran for 1,013 more touchdowns. Dude's a stud. He would fit right in with what Ole Miss does offensively.
So before this, there were two teams in NCAA Division I FBS history to average over 600 yards of total offense. The 1989 Houston Cougars.
Oh, that's with what? Andre Ware. Yeah.
2013 Baylor Bears.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's good company right there. 2013 Baylor was that RG3 or was that
Petty? I don't know. I thought he was gone by then, but let me look.
I think that's Petty. Was it Bryce Petty? I think that's who it was. Efforting. Yep, Bryce Petty was quarterback. Yeah, dude, that team was loaded. They had Corey Coleman, Levi Norwood, Juan Goodley at wide receiver.
They were good. That's like right before the downfall, isn't it?
Yeah. Leche Seastrunk was the running back. Dude was a monster. JMU. JMU's winning the football game. I would take the over. That's a lot of points, but they could easily do it.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin's asking, would you rather play JMU or Virginia?
I think it's about the same, man. Like, I'm not so sure. I think the line would be similar. I think Virginia is going to have four more players than JMU, like, in terms of, like, talent that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
But JMU players are more used to winning than Virginia's are. And I think there's something to that, too. Like, some programs just win. Like right now, Ole Miss's program just wins. Like they don't really even know how to. They find ways. I mean, look at this year. Find ways to.
Yeah.
They'll blow a 2-score lead and then still win, and so because they just figure it out at the end. JMU's got a lot of that in them. Of course, they blew out a lot of their opponents, but they've won a lot of games for the last few years. Like they've had some really good, talented players. I mean, Juice Wells was there. They've had some guys transfer out. Signetti is who built it. Ukwu. Signetti built it, right? And so they've still got the leftovers from that. That's a great question. I think
I'd say JMU just because I think Jimmy's and Joe's, you're gonna have better players.
Correct. I think Virginia's gonna have four or five more players than JMU does. And that's not to say that that's not necessarily compliment JMU. I just think that that's kind of where the ACC is right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think Virginia is going to be similar in talent to, like, Mississippi State, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's about right. I mean,
I haven't looked at their recruiting rankings and stuff. They may have a better quarterback, even though I like State's freshman quarterback, and we can talk about it if you want to. I think he's got to get a lot more accurate with his arm, but he makes really nice plays with his feet. And I don't know that anybody on Virginia's team is going to be as athletic as he is.
No.
Mississippi
State needs to figure out a way to keep him there.
Yeah, that he's going to be expensive. Him being from down the street helps him a lot.
Yeah, and his dad played there.
So I think that, you know, we could ask this question. Do you think that Virginia – who do you think would win between Virginia and Kentucky?
I'd say Virginia. It'd be close.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my point. Like, if we were watching from afar, like last year,
yeah,
and Tennessee hosted Virginia, right? We would be, as a casual fan, would say, "Oh, Tennessee's going to win that game by 17 points."
Yeah. Yeah,
just my thought. Like I said, I think that'd be a good fan base matchup. Frankly, there's a lot, you know, that would be, but I don't know that either one of those, Virginia will travel better, but than JMU, but I don't anticipate they're going to bring like 20,000 people or something.
No, I mean the thing about
they lost to Wake Forest. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I mean
now their quarterback went down and they got beat by a point, but they still lost to Wake Forest.
Yeah, I mean the thing like with they got the Ole Miss women's basketball game is getting good. 3 minutes left in the fourth. Ole Miss is up one. Just looking at stats alone, it looks like JMU's pretty one-dimensional. Like, they don't have a ton of wide receiver numbers that jump out at you. They've got a 1,000-yard rusher whose name is Wayne Knight, which is awesome. And then the quarterback, Alonzo Barnett III, thrown for 2,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, only 7 picks.
That's not a lot of yards.
It's not a lot of yards, but it, you know, seems like he's a guy that takes care of the basketball or football. yeah, I mean, to answer the question, I would say JMU.
Yeah.
Because
the answer is JMU.
Yeah.
I just don't, I'm not scared of either one of them.
No, yeah. I mean, it's about the same. But yeah, I think OVO Bell asked the question again about, Would Ole Miss consider like a G5 OC? I don't think so. And it's not like that they wouldn't do well. I think it's more that Pete's been in the Power Four plenty, and he's got connections.
In my opinion, like you don't start dipping into that unless you just have to. I don't know that the guy wouldn't be the best hire for the job. I just you leave JMU and you go to as a coordinator and you get a head coaching job at the G5 or you go to like, I don't know, a small Power Four program.
Yeah. I was going to say a G5 OC to Power Four OC, like, man, you better be damn sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
like, we'll see. That guy gets the, yeah, that's right. That's right. He may though. I mean, guys, he may get John David Baker, who's at ECU. But he's been here before and they know each other. And we know Pete would at least know what he was getting out of that guy.
And ECU's offense has been good this year.
Yeah.
Good numbers. All right. It's probably the most anybody spent talking JMU.
Yeah. We just spent 30 minutes on it. Yeah.
I'm not really going to talk about the Conference USA, Kansas State, Jacksonville State. We don't have to talk about that game.
No. I wouldn't be able to tell you anything.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't even, not even gonna pretend. Let's get into North Texas, Tulane, ranked on ranked.
Interesting matchup, honestly. North Texas blew out Washington State. They got a really good offense. Their head coach has been hired by Oklahoma State. Is he still there?
He is going to be coaching, yeah.
John Summerall, is he going to coach? Because he's now at Florida.
He is.
So coaching. You got two coaches hired away, so that's a wash. I don't know. This is a good matchup. I don't know what the line is.
The line is 2.5. Tulane getting 2.5.
Oh, so North Texas is favored?
Yes.
Interesting.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in the home stretch. An historic season for the Rebels. The NFL is on the road to the Super Bowl. Could all-time Rebel great A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles go back-to-back? Get off the bench and into the game with Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Regular Talk of Champions listeners know I've been playing Underdog all year. Jackson Dart keeps delivering for the New York Giants. Think Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, touchdowns. They've been regular picks for me, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS for $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
So, Tulane's been to the title game each of the last 3 years. Friday will become the first program in American history to play in 4 consecutive title games, which is pretty impressive.
Good coach, man.
Yep. Summerall, and then before him, Fritz, did a hell of a job. Tulane's 29-3 in regular season conference games going back to 2022. It's pretty damn good. That's the best winning percentage of any team in the FBS.
Did they play North Texas this year?
Good question. Let's see.
Keep going. I'll look it up.
You've got now North Texas, obviously, with Eric Morris. The quarterback story is wild. The Drew Mestemaker kid, I believe, was a walk-on and then became the starter. He leads the nation in passing with 3,835 yards. The running back is a true freshman who has 23 touchdowns. The running back's the guy who passed Keewon Lacy for the lead in the nation for touchdown, for rushing touchdowns that Saturday. I think that's Saturday, because Keewon got his 20th. That was best in the country. And then I think that Caleb Hawkins kid had 3 in the game on Saturday following the Egg Bowl. They got a wide receiver that's got 1,200 yards. So they score about 47 points per game. And North Texas has put up at least 52 in each of their final 3 regular season games.
Yeah.
So Tulane's going to have its hands full.
Yeah.
You got Tulane defeated Northwestern and Duke and didn't lose to a team below 500. Now, the last time North Texas played a ranked team, it lost by 27 when it played South Florida. Maybe a little money line pick here on Tulane. It's at Tulane. It's in Yulman Stadium. I mean,
I would
think North Texas wins. I don't know if I'd like it would be.
I mean, it's going to be a good game at Tulane. Like, you know, 2.5. I guess they're, what do you give Tulane, like a point for home field? 1.5, something like that.
Oh, it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, it's basically a pick 'em. Yeah. Or it would be 4 points on a neutral site.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be glued to the TV for this one. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, agree.
I might come back and either do Tulane money line or maybe look at
some numbers. With the playoffs on the line, I just think Tulane's going to win.
It's true. That's a good point. Yeah, but it's like, okay. So like, that's probably the edge that Tulane needs. Because I was gonna say both coaches are leaving. You know, if you're John Summerall, man, you know, win-win. Like, if you win, you're in. If not, you're going to coach at Florida. North Texas, same thing. Eric Morris, you win, you're probably not making the CFP, but you're gonna go get your shot at a Power Four job. So win-win for both guys. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun matchup because look, Tulane got exposed against UTSA. Now, Jeff Traylor and the Roadrunners don't lose at home in the Alamo Dome, so tricky spot there. But Tulane, you know, juggled the quarterbacks a little bit. They played the backup in that game, and then Retzlaff got the job back. They finished the year strong. Yeah, this one's gonna be fun. All right, same time, 7:00 on Fox. You've got Dan Mullen and UNLV traveling to Boise, Idaho at Albertson Stadium to take on Boise State. The only thing about this one, Ben, that's weird for me is weather. UNLV coming from Vegas. They play a lot indoors. They practice indoors. You're going to have to go up in the elements. I want to pick UNLV, and I want to say I'm going to, because Boise State's, speaking of quarterback issues, the Madsen kid, Maddox Madsen, he's been kind of up and down all year. I mean, this is Boise State's final game as a member of the Mountain West, moving to the Pac-12 next year. UNLV will stay. And then the Mountain West is adding Northern Illinois and UTEP, which is kind of crazy. Boise State's won the last 10 meetings, 12 of the last 15. UNLV's last win over Boise State was 50 years ago in 1976.
Boise beat them 56-31 a month ago.
Yeah. So.
It's going to be raining Friday and like 30 degrees. Give me the Broncos, man.
Okay. Yeah, it's only 4.5. You can get 4.5.
Are they laying 4.5?
Yeah,
I'll lock that in for me.
All right. I might sprinkle plus 180 money line on UNLV too. But yeah, you're probably right. I think just weather dominating a month ago. But you know, like they say, it's hard to beat a team twice.
But when you beat them the first time by 25 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just take a shot in the dark with that money line pick. But yeah, I think Boise's the side you want to be on here. All right. Let's get into Saturday. Let's jump in Big 12. BYU, Texas Tech. It's at AT&T Stadium, which, by the way, for the World Cup, that will be called Dallas Stadium, which is stupid because it's in Arlington.
Yeah.
All right. BYU is getting 12.5.
Man, the first time these teams played, Texas Tech looked so much better than BYU.
I mean, they blitzed them.
I know. You know, if I had to bet it, I would lay the 12.5 with Texas Tech again. But both teams have a lot to play for here. I'm definitely going to be watching this game. I think Tech's going to – I mean, honestly, I think Tech's going to roll BYU. Because I just think they're that much better than BYU. I mean, Texas Tech is kind of built like an SEC team in terms of high-end talent, and BYU just doesn't really have that on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think the running back, the LJ Martin kid's really good.
Yeah.
1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. He's averaging like 6 yards a carry. I mean, I think if you're BYU, you're going to have to slow the game down, play some keep away. Which is kind of what Kalani Sitake likes to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Texas Tech, I mean, you want to talk about the hit probably next to Ole Miss getting Trinidad Chambliss. The biggest hit in the portal was David Bailey. Texas Tech getting him out of Stanford. I mean, defensive player of the year guy. He leads the country in sacks. Yeah, I mean, I think – with him, Jacob Rodriguez, the linebacker that Texas Tech has, is really good. I think Texas
BYU Tech – BYU did have 3 turnovers the first time they played.
Yeah, and 29-7 too. Like, it wasn't like Texas Tech lit them up. Like, I know 29-7 is a blowout, but probably
– BYU only had 250 yards of offense. I mean, 67 rushing yards. Like,
and I think I heard that this game sold out.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I mean,
sure it is.
The people from Lubbock are making the drive, and then BYU has alumni everywhere.
They have the LDS church.
Yeah.
There's probably 30,000 of those people in Dallas or more.
I mean, I think because If Texas Tech loses this game, is it safe? Is it in the playoff, do you think?
You know, that's a great question. I think so, because I don't think the committee's going to punish somebody for playing in their conference championship.
Right.
But I don't know, how does BYU not enter the fray?
Yeah.
And do they get a...
Because it's a Power Four champ, so you'd be in.
Yeah, they get an automatic bid as the Power Four champ.
Which is dumb.
Yeah. Well, I guess they don't do that. They do automatic. I don't know, man. I don't know the rules anymore. Somebody in the chat's got to tell us. I wish Nick was here. He would know them.
I'm pretty sure you're right. Or I think we're right. But, yeah, I'm going to go Texas Tech just with defense.
The five highest ranked conference champions receive automatic bids.
Yeah, yeah.
So you may not get a bid if you're a conference champion and you're not ranked higher than one of the other five conference champions.
Yeah.
But both these teams, like, what is BYU, like 11th or 13th or 14th in the playoff ranking? I can't remember.
BYU?
Yeah. 11th.
Hold on.
I think they're 11th.
Efforting. Correct. 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That would knock out JMU.
Yeah, for sure. I'd lay the points with Texas Tech, I think.
Me too.
That defense is nasty. You mentioned built like an SEC team. I mean, it looks like an SEC defense. So, yeah, I'd lay them with Texas Tech. Let me see what I can get on that. And it's 12.5. I'll lay them.
Yep.
I'll lock it in.
I'm there with you.
Might as well get some skin in the game. And, yeah, I mean, I think with that defense and then the Baron Morton kids played really well at quarterback. And I like Joey McGuire. He's a stud. Great coach. So, yeah, I think Texas Tech rolls. And then we'll probably sit right there at 4.
Barring. I don't think there's a world where they move up.
I don't think so, just because of the
rest. Maybe if Bama beats Georgia, they move to 3.
Could. That could be like the one way, which is a good segue because we're jumping into this one here. The SEC Championship, 3:00, Mercedes-Benz. You've got Georgia, Alabama. Does Georgia roll here?
I don't know if they roll, but I think they win. Like, and this just does not come across as like a super tough Alabama team like they were known in the past. And it should be a good game. I don't know what the spread is, but
the spread is 2.5. Alabama is getting 2.5.
I like Georgia here.
And I think Jam Miller is concussed as well.
I like Georgia here. I don't love like it enough to lock it in, but I think they win.
Yeah, I'm going to lock it in just to, you know, we don't have a ton of games to pick, so just for fun, I'll lock it in.
I just don't love – I mean, don't get me wrong, they've been fine, but I mean, Alabama, of course, the Iron Bowl's a weird rivalry, but
play with their food.
They do, man. They do. Now they find ways to win. I mean, they do. They find ways to win, but they play with their food. And I think that Georgia, you said it earlier, hard to beat a team twice. That game was close. So, and it's, while Alabama has a huge fan base, it is in the state of Georgia. So I won't take Georgia, not lock it in. I think they're similar in terms of although the public would disagree with me, I think Stockton and Bama's quarterback are similar. I think that Georgia has maybe two more playmakers than Alabama, and both are similar on defense. Like it's a good matchup, honestly.
Yeah, I like Georgia's matchup here because of the defense has been playing really well. I feel like the defense got better like each week. The one loss was against Bama, which Georgia's defense, the second half shutout in that game, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Georgia had the ball multiple times to tie or take the lead, couldn't mm-hmm. do it. The only SEC game that Georgia went wire to wire was against Kentucky. Like, Georgia's been notorious for slow starts all year. I think the one like equalizer here is Kalen DeBoer. He's 19-4 against top 25 teams as a head coach, 6-1 against top 10 opponents.
He's a good coach, but I'm going to say his counterpart has a similar record against teams that are against ranked opponents.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me. I imagine it's damn good.
I mean, they never lose.
Yeah. Ty Simpson's played well. I think Gunnar Stockton's just going to, not crash the car, basically. And I think Georgia wins. And if it's just
top 25 teams, Kirby Smart is 37-15. So that's not as good of a percentage as Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. I still think Georgia's the play here. It's just 2.5. So
Smart is 19-10 against the top 10.
Oh. That's a lot of top 10 games.
Yeah. Well, he's 2-1 against the Rebs.
Yeah. Ole Miss women's hoops wins.
Nice.
Beats Notre Dame. 69-62. Still undefeated. Big win. It's a quad one win right there. Isn't in the SEC title game, doesn't Georgia like own Alabama under Kirby Smart?
I don't know because
that a stat.
I feel because like I heard that. Bama beat Georgia that one year that knocked Florida State out of the playoff.
Yeah.
23, maybe. 22,
23. Let's see. I believe Kirby Smart has made the conference championship game 8 times in 9 years and has won it 4. Or maybe it's the other way around. Alabama owns them.
Probably.
In the SEC title game.
Probably.
So, yeah, 3 losses are to Alabama, 18, 21, and 23. So I had it backwards. 5 consecutive appearances in the title game for Georgia. I mean.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. This is a more gettable Georgia team, though, in my opinion.
No, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Like, Ole Miss playing Georgia in the second round isn't super scary.
Yeah. I'd rather play another team, but.
Not as formidable as you would think the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. All right, Big Ten, Indiana, Ohio State, in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil. This game is at 7 o'clock on Fox.
What's the spread?
The number is 4.
Wow, that's low. I'm going to lay the points with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'm with you. I think Ohio State, I don't think you need to pay any attention to what happened last week. It was a rivalry game, Michigan, whatever. It was in the snow, cold. I'm going to
– what's the total?
The total is 47.5.
See, I was going to say that this feels like a 28-17 game to me, which is just under it.
I'm going to lock in the under.
Yeah. I mean, I think an under's a good pick because I think they're going to suffocate Indiana.
Should. I think, like, would you say this is the two best teams in the country?
No.
Who do you think is better than Indiana?
Like, okay. I think they have the two best resumes in the country. I still can't in my head, and this is runs antithetical to what I am as a fan, but
is it the helmet?
I can't bring myself to do it. And plus I saw him play against Penn State, man. I saw the game. And Penn State, the same Penn State that got drilled by like a lot of bad teams this year. I can't get past that. I can't get past that. I think that now they could come out, have a great game plan, play Ohio State close, and, you know, prove their number two ranking. But I think they're a top 10 team. I just don't know that they're the second best team. Like number two, I would either think would be like, now that you asked me that question, I don't know who you could put at number two, but for them.
Yeah, I mean.
Texas Tech, maybe. Ole Miss, Georgia. Like, who is number two?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't think it's Oregon.
Well, let's do this. If Indiana played at Georgia, what's that line, right? What's that number? Georgia minus 6.5? Georgia minus 4.5?
Yeah. Let's say
if Indiana played at Alabama, similar number.
I think so.
If Indiana played at Ole Miss is probably favored. What, 3.5, 4.5? Now flip it. Send Ole Miss to Indiana. Is it a pick 'em? Is Indiana favored by 2? You know, I wish I could create a simulator that would give us that projection, because I think that. You know, I think they're a top 5 or 10 team. I just don't know. Like, in my opinion, right now, I think there's like Ohio State, who's a clear number one. And then if you go from teams 2 through like 10, all of those can beat each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's at this point, I kind of have to give Indiana its flowers. We'll find out on Saturday.
Oh, no. I think they've earned it. I just
how legit Indiana is.
Yep.
But I think Ohio State should win handily. I do think that even though Cignetti is as cocky as he is, I think he understands the assignment. I think he's going to try to slow the game down. And because I don't think Indiana wants to get in a track meet.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But, you know, it would be cool if they beat them. That'd be crazy. I'm not expecting it at all. And I'm surprised the line's just 4. That feels so low to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Indiana's, I don't think Ohio State's going to beat them 42-0. But, you know, I think they can cover 4.
So. Yeah. Indiana's won its last 13 regular season games. Ohio State has now won 12 consecutive. And then with the postseason, Ohio State has a nation's best 16 consecutive wins. Indiana is number 2 at 12. Ohio State is 10-1-1 against the spread this season.
Yeah, dude. They cover lines, man. Ohio State is word to the wise. Every year, pick them every week.
Yeah, as long as Ryan Day's there.
Oh yeah, the head coach of Ohio State knows he owes his boosters to cover the line.
Yeah,
they just do.
All right, last one here: Duke UVA ACC title game in Charlotte. I think the weather is going to be nasty.
That may favor Duke.
Could, yeah. Play a just muddy it up. I think it's going to be a good game. I know a lot of people probably don't care. Darian Mensa, quarterback for Duke, going up against Chandler Morris for Virginia.
Duke's lost 5 games, man. I just
yeah.
I can't.
And UVA killed them 34-17. Like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, literally 3 weeks ago. Or 2.5 weeks ago. I'm going to take Virginia. What's the line? What's the number?
3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to lay 3.5 with Virginia and lock it in. That not only did they beat them by 17, they were up 31-3 at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
So it was like a late 2 touchdowns to make it look less than the 4.4 touchdown win that it actually was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think Virginia dominates this game.
Yeah, me too.
Like you said, I mean, Duke has been spunky under Manny Diaz. I like the quarterback in Mensah, but the mental edge here with whipping them a couple weeks ago. And I mean, I think Tony Elliott's probably one of the better stories of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke turns the ball over a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Like now they do create turnovers too. Like they got a pretty solid defense.
You know, like, I know Ole Miss blew them out last year in the ball game, but they were more physical than I expected. I remember when they tackle, like they brought it when they hit.
First couple drives where Ole Miss was kind of feeling them out. They look better than I thought.
Yeah, me too.
Now the last let's see. Yeah. Early in the year they lost to Illinois. They had 5 turnovers.
Yeah, watched that game.
Then in a 3-game winning streak against NC State, Syracuse, and Cal. So, I mean, like, not world beaters, but Duke won the turnover battle 11-0. So, like,
wow.
If Duke can take care of the ball, this could be a game. But Duke has had a pinch in a turnover. And, like, the one thing about Mensah where he's boom or bust, man. I mean –
And again, like, I go back and, you know, Wake beating UVA 16-9.
Yeah.
I mean, Wake Forest.
That's such a bizarre team. Like, I like Jake Dickert, and he's just like, doing all he can to get stuff out of Robbie Ashford.
Duke just beat them by 17 last week.
Yeah. In that win over Duke, Virginia had 22 first downs to Virginia had 22 first downs to Duke's 11.
Yeah.
And then had 540 total yards. Duke only had 255.
Yeah. This is my opinion. I think Virginia rolls.
I think so too.
5-loss team in a conference championship. I mean, come on.
1-3 in non-conference play too.
Come on.
Yeah, they reached the ACC championship game by having a higher conference opponent winning percentage than the other 4 teams who were also 6-2. Just stupid. What a sport.
What a sport.
Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I think that to play it safe, we want the conference championship games to go chalk in that we want Ohio State to beat Indiana. We want Georgia to beat Alabama. That kind of keeps everything in front of us the same. That allows Ole Miss to remain at 6. A bad juju moment would be if Alabama beat Georgia and for some reason the committee decided to slide them up from wherever they are, 10 to – you know, 5, whatever that number would be, 5-6, and then Georgia comes down. How far do they move Georgia down? Like, does that slide Ole Miss down into the 7? That really, we really need to be Georgia Bulldog fans during the SEC championship game. That's the big one, in my opinion, because Georgia has that barrier of the head-to-head against us. So I don't know that the committee would drop them below us for losing a conference championship, but does the committee move Alabama ahead of us?
right,
for winning it.
I think that's I think that's what you need. You need Georgia to dominate, because it's the same. It's the same conversation we have about Oklahoma Ole Miss, where it's like Oklahoma's not jumping Ole Miss because
right
as the head
exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I think if you're Ole Miss this weekend, you're cheering for Georgia, you're cheering for Virginia, or yep. you could flip it and you cheer for Duke and you want James Madison. Either one.
Yep.
Ole Miss is hosting a college football playoff home game. Do we know if it's going to be the 19th or the 20th yet?
No.
Find out on Sunday.
I would guess that 6:11 is probably like the 2:30 on Saturday, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
I would think the G5 game is a Friday night game, if I had to guess, the 5:12. They may also take into account weather. So, like, this more southern you are, maybe they put that in. Maybe not. But I don't know that they've announced it yet. Somebody in the chat may.
Yeah. Sunday's when everything goes down.
I would think that the Saturday night game would be the 8-9. I would think. But I don't know that.
Let me see. CFP. Yeah, I don't think they've announced it. CFP schedule. The first round Friday is 8 p.m. Saturday's at 12.
Yeah, I have 12, 4, and 7. There's three games on Saturday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. 12, 3:30, 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think the SEC 11-1 team gets a night game.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe the maybe the playoff committee wants to troll Ole Miss and put them in.
Like 2:30 is kind of a night game anyway, right?
Yeah, so, and Ole Miss plays great in that slot.
Yeah, I think it's the best spot there is.
And I think I don't know. You go to a lot more. I mean, you go to every home game. I only go for – I'll come in for work a couple times a year. Do you prefer that 2:30 or do you want night games?
So at this time of year, I would rather have the 2:30. But like if it's September or October, that give me the night game.
Yeah. Yeah, because it gets dark early, obviously.
Yeah, and it's cold. I mean, it gets cold. Like and during the daytime, there's a big weather difference in Mississippi from 2:30 to 6:30.
Yeah. And you kind of get that like – Swayze Field, as Ole Miss fans know, the temperature drops like 20 degrees in that place.
Austin Gray has joined the chat.
Yep, I see. You can't spell Music City Bowl without LSU. That is correct. Can confirm. I really hope LSU is not the Music City Bowl because I don't want to have to deal with that.
Can you spell? Well, I guess you can. You can spell Liberty Bowl without LSU.
Man. Is Lane coaching the bowl game? No.
I don't know. Did you hear?
He might. He might make it about.
Did you hear the Texas Tech's coach rant about Lane leaving?
No.
So he said, if we're going to have coaches leave before the playoff, then the school they go to, you know, like in this case, LSU, should be prohibited from making the playoff in that coach's first year there.
Wait, say that again.
He said that if, like, one way to eliminate this issue is that if a coach were to leave before the playoff, that the school where he is going, so in this case LSU, would be prohibited or banned from playing in the playoff his first year there.
Oh, yeah.
And that school cannot accept a transfer from the school in which that coach left for 12 months.
That's way more fair than the
playoff. The problem with that one is you can't really limit people from choosing where they want to go to school.
Yeah.
But you could prevent it. You know what I'm saying? If the coach, you could prevent the coach from being able to compete in the championship in his first or in the playoff in his first year there.
Yeah. No, that's I don't hate that at all.
No,
I mean,
same.
Yeah, we've had people joke about relegation at this point, with all the money that's going around.
Pancake pantry, good Lord. Sorry. Man, can you imagine LSU fans in Gatlinburg?
Nah, dude, they'll be in that pancake pantry on like over in West End next to Vandy.
Oh, I know which one he's talking about. I'm just thinking like LSU fans just in Tennessee in general, like in East Tennessee. Oh my gosh.
Oh, they'd fit right in Gatlinburg.
I know.
I'm thinking of like LSU people walking around, you know, Bell Mead, you know, Hillsborough Pike, and that juxtaposition of culture. Because look, those fans that are walking around are not the alum. They're the people that are coming in from Slot L or, you know, Monroe.
They ran the Tilt-A-Whirl the week before.
Yeah, I think yeah, I'm with you on the 2:30 slot. I think that would be best. Because if you're on Friday, whatever. You're the only game on, night game, prime time. So, last thing, Caleb came in here. Real quick, I'll say it. Ole Miss, fine. You lose Jet Goldsberry to Purdue. He said all the right things after Kiffin left. I talked to him. He said he was going to sign with Ole Miss. I think he just wanted to stay closer to home. His dad went to Purdue, played there. I think he just wanted to do that.
May have always been that kind of thing anyway. I don't know that. You know what I'm saying?
Other than that, though, Ole Miss went a perfect 16 for 16 outside of him. They add Kane Mankins, Logan Mankins' son. Not a bad NFL pedigree there to put in your locker room. It's
– Also, you got some commitments at other schools that are now wavering. Ole Miss may try, you know, like some Ole Miss alum children.
Yeah. Tomorrow, if you're listening to us live, tomorrow is in Friday. Deuce Geralds, the son of Davrin Geralds, who was the center for Jevon Snead, he is committed to LSU. He pushed his signing day announcement back to Friday. I think he's mulling things over. Everybody's gone quiet at this point. Nobody's talking. Pushing back is certainly a good sign for Ole Miss. I don't really know.
Do you have any expectation?
Not really. I mean, he's got a great relationship with Pete Golding and Randall Joyner. If you like made me not a prediction, but just like
he didn't even know who his coach is at LSU, does he?
Well, Blake Baker's gone. And
they don't have a D-line coach, do they?
Yeah. I think he's gone, right? Caleb brought up J.C. Anderson. I forgot about him. He flipped to LSU to follow Joe Cox, which is wild because Joe Cox could potentially come back to Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss is trying. Yeah, LSU does not have – because they're targeting Elijah Robinson, as somebody in the chat brought up earlier. So maybe Deuce Geralds' family is not keen on Lane Kiffin. I don't know. We'll see. Georgia Tech's trying to get in the mix there. Brent Key has gotten that program to invest in NIL, so they're going to try to keep him home. I think it's Ole Miss or LSU. We talked about Kenny Darby earlier. He's announcing, I mean, maybe it's Colorado to go play for Dion and Brennan Marion.
That could have been much ado about nothing, though.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Jace Matthews, the five-star wide receiver from Greene County, he is announcing tomorrow afternoon. I know Dante Moncrief's been pushing hard for him. That is his cousin.
Where's he going?
He's committed to Auburn. Now, what is Derek Nix doing? Is Derek Nix coming back to Ole Miss? I think he is. Does he know that, though? Will Derek Nix be announced before he announces?
I'm going to say he had the conversation with him.
Probably.
That'd be a good late addition. You said he's a five-star receiver?
Yeah. Tore his ACL early in his senior year. But he was the number one wide receiver in the country before that. I think he got bumped down to like two or three after the final rankings came out. And then the other potential addition would be Bryson Cooley, who's from West Jones. He's committed to LSU.
Lineman? So,
yeah, offensive lineman, offensive tackle. So I know that's not a great answer for people that are asking. It's just these nights are either everyone's talking nonstop or no one's saying a word. And I don't think that really means anything. Because also, like, this is a very unique situation for the Ole Miss staff because they're also preparing for a playoff game. So, and then with the, you know, also Lane Kiffin left on Sunday. So they've got other issues or, you know, other concerns right now. But, yeah, Ole Miss, 26th ranked class right now, 17 signees. That means a lot of powder dry for the portal. So, Vance, you asked if I'm coming to the playoffs. That I will be in Oxford for the playoffs. 100% would miss it. So, yeah. Nick, unfortunately, did not join. And then Austin is living large in the Big Apple to go watch the Rebs. So, appreciate everybody tuning in this evening, whether it was Twitter, whether it was YouTube. Big numbers once again. These live shows have been fun.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
So that'll do it for this championship week edition. We'll be back next week to react to the final college football playoff bracket because we will know who Ole Miss will be playing in a couple weeks. So for Ben over there, I'm Zach. This has been Hit That Line. Appreciate y'all. Everybody have a good weekend. We out of here.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.